Is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The bodies of four hostages arriving back in Israel, handed over by Hamas as a part of the latest ceasefire talks. Six living Israeli hostages to be released this weekend. President Trump continuing to insist that Ukraine is responsible for the Russian invasion of Ukraine and calling Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky a dictator without elections. More job cuts are headed to government jobs, including at the Department of Defense. Here's ABC's Rachel Scott.
President Trump's budget acts preparing to swing at the largest agency in the federal government, with deep cuts at the Pentagon now on the horizon. Sources tell ABC News Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has asked top Pentagon officials to draw up plans for a sweeping 8% cut. The department hasn't seen cuts this deep in more than a decade.
Walmart rolling through the fourth quarter with a strong profits and sales. The outlook for 2025, however, not quite so rosy, thanks to tariffs that could threaten the low-price model at Walmart. This is ABC News. A setback for defense attorneys in the case of the 2022 murder of those four college students at the University of Idaho. The judge in the case issued a ruling Wednesday that will allow critical evidence against Brian Koberger. ABC's Andrew Dimbert reports.
Koberger is charged with murdering Ethan Chapin, Zanna Kernodle, Madison Mogan, and Kaylee Gonzalez in 2022 at a home near the campus of the University of Idaho. His lawyers have long challenged how the police search warrants were granted and how the collection of DNA led authorities to Koberger in the first place. But the judge ruling that the defense failed to demonstrate how Koberger's constitutional rights were violated, since the DNA was that of Koberger's family members, not of Brian Koberger alone.
China has begun repatriation flights for more than 1,000 Chinese nationals who were rescued from online scam centers in Myanmar. China's been working with Myanmar and Thailand to shut down those scam centers that con victims through romance, investment, or gambling plays. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshower joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Bucks basketball tonight in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks are back from the All-Star break, taking on the LA Clippers tonight at Fiserv Forum. Bucks star Giannis Antetokounmpo talking to reporters for the first time since suffering that calf muscle injury in his left leg, the same that knocked him out of the playoffs last season. How concerned is he?
Nothing is scary, but you just got to be... I'm very aware of my body. I kind of had the same feeling I had and felt the same pain I had before I got hurt last year. I didn't get hurt at the spot. It wasn't the first time I felt that. I felt it days prior to that, maybe like a week or two prior to that. And then, you know, you overcompensate or you keep on playing and you're like, okay, it's just going to be tight. It's going to be stiff. I'm going to play through it. But I didn't. I wasn't able to play through it and I got hurt.
College Hoops number 16th ranked Marquette on the road tomorrow night against Villanova. And hockey tomorrow night at the Kohl Center in Madison as the Badgers host the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. Face off at 7:30. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Director Peter Bogdanovich's final film has been remastered and will be released digitally by Lionsgate. The film Squirrels to Nuts was originally released under its first title, She's Funny That Way, in 2014. The acclaimed director passed away in 2022. In reality TV stars talking just to talk news, Bethany Frankel weighed in on Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively, making light of their legal issues with director Justin Baldoni, who is also Lively's co-star in It Ends With Us. Frankel, one of the real fake TV housewives of New York City, said joking about the lawsuits on Saturday Night Live's 50th anniversary was nothing short of genius, calling it the zeitgeist, a bullseye. She added that the only way to weather a storm is to go right through it. while also acknowledging that the storm might have actually been caused by Lively and Reynolds in the first place, admitting that no one knows what happened. Let this be a lesson to you youngsters out there. Always make social media posts before you day drink. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Not quite as cold the next couple of days, but still chilly. Mostly sunny today, a high near 17. Wind chills as low as 20 below, especially in the morning. Mostly clear tonight, lows near 5 below. Sunny skies on Friday with highs near 20. Right now, 0 degrees.
Jane Mattinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, they're working to keep your Social Security safe. Alex Lawson from Social Security Works joins us. Plus weather with Brittany Merlot and sports with Paul Noonan.
Mattinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network at 7:06 on a Thursday morning, February 20th. Nice to have you along. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we will talk to two members of the Wisconsin Legislature's Black Caucus, Representative Saquana Taylor and State Senator Dora Drake, about Black History Month. A little Black history was made just yesterday. Clean one, without all of the fighting that has accompanied the resolution for the past 7 years of Republican obstruction. So we'll get into that coming up a little bit after 7:30. We'll talk to Luke Mathers just near the end of the hour here, and that will include talking about the economic impact of Top Chef Wisconsin. It's still being felt to this day. We'll offer a dramatic interpretation of the Facebook comment section coming up in moments, followed by Up North News reporter Selena Heller talking about the real impact on Wisconsin farm families from what Donald Trump and Elon Musk are doing, taking a sledgehammer rather than a scalpel to the federal budget. But before all of that, we have meteorologist Brittany Merlot joining us as well to talk about the light at the end of the tunnel, the dark, cold tunnel. It's coming with a wintry mix, just to annoy Greg, but it's the warmth is coming, Brittany. Good morning.
Good morning. It really is. I'm so excited. Today's the day you can actually like probably get outside to enjoy some of the snowfall that we got, because we're finally all going to be above zero, feeling above zero. No more wind chills to battle, nothing like that. In fact, high temperatures today across the entire state will make it to the low 20s. It's going to be a sunny, beautiful, calm day out there. And we're going to put that on repeat for tomorrow too. Another day in the low 20s, ton of sunshine. And then as we go into the weekend, we get even warmer. We're looking at highs reaching the upper 20s on Saturday, partly sunny skies, then we'll become partly cloudy on Sunday. Highs climb to the upper 30s. So this is the first day above freezing. Some little bit of melting of snow will start on Sunday. And then we're also looking at a wintry mix headed our way. It looks like the northeastern part of the state is more snow, and then the southeastern part of the state looks more of an icy, rainy type headed our way. And of course, that continues into Monday, where we are still looking at light, scattered, wintry mix throughout the state, because high temperatures are going to be hitting 40 to 45 degrees. Ooh. This is Monday. Yeah, I checked. It's not going to break any records. We got into the 50s and 60s once before on that day, but still very nice and mild. It will be continuing to melt more and more snow. And pretty much when you have temperatures in the 40s, it's going to take about a half an inch of snow away a day. So we're going to put 40s on repeat for Tuesday and into Wednesday as well, with more chances of a wintry mix moving in on Wednesday too. So it's going to be a darker, drearier kind of warmth, because it will create some fog as that snow is melting. It will bring chances of rain and snow in there and more clouds out there too. But hey, 40s compared to negative 40s,
Yeah. I mean, everything's 15 to 20 degrees warmer than yesterday morning at this time, which is nice. You're not the only one who is watching the record highs. Roger from Stevens Point puts on Facebook that a year ago today, Ironwood, Michigan had 50 degrees, even as Hurley, Wisconsin, not far away, had a snowfall deficit of 85 inches. Last winter was just weird and sad for folks up north. So
it was.
What a difference here. Also on the text line from Dave in New Berlin, good morning, Miss Brittany, looking lovely as usual. From Rob in Tigerton, good morning. It's partly cloudy and 9 above with a wind chill of 4 below. There is a little bit of a breeze out there. He says, later today, I get to go to a public information meeting at the Shawano County Courthouse on a proposal adding a $20 wheel tax to improve Shawano County roads. I have to be involved. He says yesterday he went to Shawano, and the sun has heat on these cold weather days that you don't have to use the heater like you would in December and January. That February and March are the time for ice storms in Wisconsin, and he hates ice storms. I can get on board with that.
Me too.
Ice is the worst. Yep. Ice is the worst.
That's all fine.
Oh, we found something Brittany doesn't like. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
True. We did, finally.
Oh, God. I thought she was going to be positive about everything. Okay.
Got that.
Love it. Thank you, Brittany, very much. Appreciate
it.
You can sign up for our daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Sign up there. Christina Laurie puts it together. A lot of stories as we tried to bring an extra attention to the battle against cancer this month. And she notes in today's newsletter that there are more than 100 cancer-focused charities just in Wisconsin. And so it can be hard to decide where to give your money, but she has looked into it, and she offers up 3 Wisconsin-based charities that immediately will put your dollars to work. She has another article about screening for various types of cancers as well. And then she talks a bit about some local teams that you can support in 2025, not just like the Badgers and Packers, but for example, Madison is going to be home to Wisconsin's first professional women's soccer team sometime in 2025. So you can catch all that and much more over at upnorthnewswi.com. Check out the articles, sign up for the newsletter there as well. If I could, Greg, ask for just a little bit of a little chamber music, please.
But of course, my pleasure.
Let's class up the joint a bit here.
Is this Beauty and the Beast?
No, wait, who's who here?
And now I present Pat Kreischlow.
Welcome. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Dramatic Interpretations of the Facebook Comment Section. Brought to you by Maga Mark, who really had a lot to say during our segment with Joe Zepecki in our last hour. So we include comments like, starts off easy enough, talking about the state budget surplus. Any budget that doesn't return the $4 billion in overtaxing to the folks who earned it is a failure. Followed by, Evers has no new ideas. He simply plagiarizes Trump. Followed by, typical liberal thinks he's better than the good folks in Arkansas. All right, I'll stop on that one, Mark. Okay. It's not that we think we're better than the good folks in Arkansas, given that Arkansas and Wisconsin are the only two states that have not increased Medicaid coverage for new moms for a year after giving their baby. Did the orchestra not want to hear the rest of that answer? They really fired it up there.
They're all mega.
I was gonna say, let's bring that orchestra down a little bit. It's not that we think we're better than the folks in Arkansas, but for those of us who want to expand healthcare coverage for new moms, it makes us smarter than the people in Arkansas. I'll be just fine with that. Followed by, yeah, I told you, he's on a tear. Kreitlow has no issues with the billionaires Reid Hoffman, Pritzker, and Soros funding Crackpot Crawford. That, of course, would be Susan Crawford, who's running for state Supreme Court. And that's not exactly true. We've spoken out many a time about how there's too much money in politics, how we definitely need to put some limits on that. We talked just the other day about the Buckley v. Valeo decision of 1976 and how it equates money with free speech and how that really shouldn't be the case. Millionaires and billionaires shouldn't get more free speech than what we have. Am I happy nonetheless that while some billionaires like Elon Musk contribute to causes on the right and others contribute to causes on the left? Yep, that's kind of how this works. I don't know where these next couple of ones came from, but you can tell the interview is really going on somewhere with Joseph Pecky, because all we get on this one is, wrong, Kreitlow, it happened in Sun Prairie. I don't know the context of that, so I'm sorry. And then finally, liars. And that ends today's dramatic reading of the Facebook comment section. Thank you.
Cool.
I got, the orchestra has left now. They're just like, I yelled at them. They're not coming back. That's fine. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Didn't want Greg as Lumiere.
No.
Oh, well, we're back to Beauty and the Beast all of a sudden. Okay. All right.
Well, I have a dramatic interpretation of what of the last message that Mark sent us.
Liar!
Tony puts on Ashlyn. I think you need more underlying anger to really nail the character.
Yeah. Perhaps. I mean, honestly, if you really want to do this up, we could do a dramatic reading sometime. I'm happy to participate in that.
It was just there were so many that at some point you go, I can't, you know, the only way to respond is en masse. So.
Well, I just have one question from Mark. Is that anytime they want to bring up George Soros or J.B. Pritzker, who's a new guy on the block for this. Now, he used to just be Soros.
Yeah.
Okay. They don't get to do, you don't want them to, then you don't get to have Musk, you don't get to have the Elines, you don't get to have Hendricks, you don't get to have any of those other ones either. Nobody gets them. Are you okay with that? If you're okay with that, fine. If not, then stop talking about the few liberal billionaires out there.
And that actually gets me to a point that I'm making for this weekend's newsletter. We do a new weekend newsletter about politics. And we asked a question about what should the legislature do with the $4 billion surplus. And we gave people four options, A, B, C, D, with the one being kind of what Mark said, is that all the surplus should go back to taxpayers and don't use any of it for services. And at the option for D is all of it should go for services, education and everything, and none of it for tax cuts. And then, you know, varying degrees in the middle. And the question that I wrote about last night for the newsletter is, the people who answered A and the people who answered D, could you still get them in a room together and say, here's $4 billion. Split this up in a way that makes it a win-win. And Selena, you and I have covered enough politicians over the years, and we've talked to enough real people, that despite what comes out as a lot of, you know, sarcasm from me and everything else, I still believe that if you grab some regular folks from column A and some regular folks from column D who answered that question, and you said, you get to be a legislator for a day. You don't have to, this doesn't have to be your whole life, but we're going to make you a legislator for a day. And can you split up this $4 billion and create a win-win for the most people? I still believe most people would take that task seriously and do it rather than pout and storm out of the room if they didn't get everything they wanted.
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, previously I've been in economic development with the city of Eau Claire, and we held such exercises, little workshops just like that, you know, what to do with the city budget. And we did that. And it was really interesting because people did just get in a room and say, here's this pile of money. What do you do with it? And we all gotten into little groups and we did just that. And then a representative from each group got up and wrote on the board what, you know, they thought. It was really interesting. And they all worked together.
That's right. I forgot that you had done that for the city. And again, for all the talk about politics and the negative sides of it, there are times that, you know, our faith is restored watching people who are actually service driven and in this for a right reason, and not just getting angry in the comment section. Selena has more about the impact on Wisconsin farmers of the Trump cuts next. This is Up North News Radio.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Hey, it's family time at Chula Vista with the right kind of fun for everyone. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family. Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, a rejuvenating spa visit, relaxing at outdoor fire pits, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park and outdoors with cross-country skiing, sledding, and snowshoeing. Dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here, on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Discover Chula's Winter Wonderland. Miles of freshly groomed trails, skiing, sledding, snowshoeing. Check out bonus gift cards at ChulaVistaResort.com.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down. Slower.
iZurvey is proven to slow GA progression.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
iZurvey or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. iZurvey can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. iZurvey may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about iZurvey today.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
Visit iZurvey.com. That's iZurvey.com.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
John Giles of the J. Giles Band turns 79 years old today. You can catch our history lesson every morning at 6:50 on Up North News Radio. I don't think I could do justice to what we talked about during the break about AMSR videos.
ASMR.
ASMR? I don't know, whatever it is. Okay, smart guy, what does it stand for?
Okay, something, something, Meridian Response. Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response. It could be crackpot. It's not, I mean, it's whatever, but I like it.
No, I think it's a perfectly fine thing. I didn't know if we could pull it off on live radio to talk about something that's really quiet. Like, because it's just going to frustrate listeners.
We're going to get a silence notification from the engineers. Like, why aren't you talking? Yeah. I'm totally talking right now.
We are talking. I told you so. Started with Selena and Emery likes to watch the unboxing of toys ones. There's unboxing toys videos. They've run amok on YouTube. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And these kids, you know, their parents are making huge bucks doing this.
Yeah.
But we'll explore.
That's unbelievable.
We'll explore it some other time. We want to get into a story that Selena's been working on for Up North News. And that is about, you know, we've heard about, so many people losing their jobs, the layoffs, the National Park Service. There's going to be long lines at national parks. There's people that are supposed to guard the nuclear weapons stockpile. There's all kinds of folks that are having real impacts. But it's not just federal workers. It's folks who have any kinds of dealings with the federal government where decisions were made and contracts were signed. And now Donald Trump is going in and breaking these contracts. And Selena, you found one of many farmers out there who's really going to feel the pinch from this.
Oh, yes. Aaron Pape has Pape Family Pastures in Peshtigo with his wife, Erin, also. And they've used equip contracts a lot of times over the last few years to grow their farm. And the equip contracts are Environmental Quality Incentives Program. And it's part of the Natural Resources Conservation Services Program, which is under the USDA. And so farmers have been using these contracts for years. He signed one last spring that is not getting fulfilled right now.
Well, let's give a listen to the report you put together about this that you can catch on Up North News' social media feeds.
Aaron Pape is a farmer from Peshtigo in northeastern Wisconsin. He recently got a disturbing message from the federal government.
They replied back that they owed me about $30,000, but then there was some very disconcerting language. We're unable to to pay on this contract at this time and don't know when funds will be made available because it was contracted as part of the Inflation Reduction Act. Any further practice implementation is at my own discretion.
The message came from the Natural Resources Conservation Service about the reimbursement contract they have with the Pate Family Farm.
$30,000 might not be a lot of money to some people, but it's a lot to me. It's a lot to my business, and I need that money to operate. I was counting on that money to be able to operate my farm this year. If I don't get paid that $30,000, I gotta go borrow that money.
The reimbursement contract was going to help the Papes pay for seed, a watering system, and fence.
And in return, we're taking worn out cropland that's been highly eroded, causing water quality impacts, and we're putting in a permanent perennial grass. I think it's a win-win program.
Pape says the freeze is adding more economic uncertainty for farmers also being hit with the end of USAID, which will cost farmers hundreds of millions of dollars in income. Plus, farmers could bear the brunt of retaliation from tariffs affecting fertilizer pricing and availability right away, all rippling through the rest of the rural economy.
The federal government is just being hit with a sledgehammer right now, and programs are just being smashed and departments being closed, you know, at the drop of a hat. It's way too chaotic. It's making it very difficult to react to.
Pape says he expected elected leaders to make well-thought-out decisions that are in the best interests of the people.
I'm a pretty conservative guy, a long-standing Christian, and have very conservative moral, you know, and social values, you could say. But at the end of the day, I understand that competency in government is a good thing.
Well, it's supposed to be competency in government. And that leads us, before we hear from Julie Bomar at the Wisconsin Farmers Union, people, and we talked about this the other day with Hans Breitenmoser, people were jumping to conclusions that Aaron Pape being unhappy about this must mean, you know, that, you know, he voted one way or he voted the other, but his politics aren't something that come into play here.
Nope, he did not vote for Donald Trump. And so he kind of wanted to have that clear because he was getting so much comments, so many comments, you deserve this and all.
Yeah, thinking that, well, he's a farmer, so he must have voted for Trump.
Yes.
A lot of people going, oh, farmers deserve this. No, plenty of farmers who voted for Trump for various reasons, again, expected a more, competent approach to reining in federal spending. So you also talked to Julie Bomar, the executive director of the Wisconsin Farmers Union.
I did. And she said, you know, she was talking about all of these issues that farmers are having and all of these things that are just kind of blowing up in everybody's faces and a lot of things affecting the farmers. But also her organization is being affected, too, because funds are being frozen at the Wisconsin Farmers Union.
Let's give a listen to Julie.
I think everybody has been dazed, right, in terms of like the amount of impact that has occurred in the last few weeks, and then really just trying to figure out the right strategy. Nonprofits, too, are wildly affected. It's, as one person put it to me, the nonprofit world is blown up at this point. And we also are experiencing that as a farm organization where we have five grants that have federal money coming to them, either through partners or through the state. And those are frozen right now. We have accounts receivable growing daily on those, and we have not been reimbursed for previous quarterly invoices.
Which gets to the point of, again, these were contracts. So what you think when somebody signs a contract, they're going to live up to it and then maybe not renew the contract.
Right.
But this,
at least
this
see it through.
Right. At least see through the commitment, which has always been my problem with these debates about debt ceilings. They're phony debates because you've already committed to spending the money. So pay the bill. And one more quick thing on a much lighter note. But when you mentioned Aaron Pape and his wife, Erin, it's A-A-R-O-N and E-R-I-N. And it's one of those many, many times where, you know, boy meets girl, boy and girl fall in love. And the girl goes, really? We're going to be Aaron and Aaron? you don't know. You know, it's like a Pat and Pat, for example. But they're good folks, good farmers. We really appreciate them sharing time. Selena, thank you very much. I appreciate it so much. I just want to say on my own here and not rope Selena into this, that Mega Mark is back and says on Facebook, the farmer, his business model is predicated on a government grant. This is not typical. Nice try. Okay, first off, Mark, yeah, it is. The farming system is very complex that way, where there's a lot of payments to grow crops, to not grow crops, and to do a bunch of other things that help feed the world and also protect the environment. And also, please, Mark, try decaf. We will come back and talk to two members of the Legislative Black Caucus about the Legislative Black Caucus about Black History Month. That's coming up next. I should get decaf too. You're up north.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Nationwide testing of milk for high-path avian influenza has been underway for a few weeks. Where does Wisconsin's testing process stand? I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Thursday. Well, as of last week, Wisconsin has indeed engaged in testing our milk for high-path avian influenza. Randy Romanski, Wisconsin's Secretary of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, says in Wisconsin, though, that testing process not as easy as other states.
Well, Wisconsin is America's dairyland, and obviously our state and its industry is unique compared to other states. We have more dairy farms than any other state, and quite honestly, we have more dairy processors than most other states have dairy farms. So it took a while to work through the process because when USDA recommended testing silos, that was in a state like ours, it's so unique that that is a difficult and timely process. So we worked with our federal partners, with our state partners to try to find a system that works, still gets the information that the USDA wants and that we all need to know, and at the same time is going to work for us, our staff to collect or somebody to collect the material.
Randy Romanski, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, he said while details are still forthcoming on how they'll test milk, right now he anticipates that they'll utilize samples that are already collected for routine milk testing to try to streamline the testing process. As of last week, across the United States, there were 36 cases of high-path avian influenza in livestock in four different states in the last 30 days' time. Wisconsin has yet to detect any case.
When it comes to fungal diseases like soybean white mold and SDS, you know how devastating yield loss can be. That's why you work with your seed dealer to find the best genetics for your farm. Did you know you can bring forward the defensive traits of those genetics with a seed treatment? Heads up, a biological plant activator primes your seed to turn on its natural defense against disease. Take your yields to the finish line. Ask your seed dealer for Heads Up Seed Treatment.
Loss of appetite? Drop in milk production and dehydration are all key indicators of HPAI, or bird flu. This disease is a threat to cattle health and farmers' bottom line. Help protect your herd and reduce the spread by keeping animals hydrated and eating with BioVet. Bovine Goldlight provides key electrolytes for livestock, and our direct-fed microbial products support digestive health and appetite. Learn more at bile-vet.com.
Innovation.
And Saturday is the deadline to submit applications for this year's Century and Sesquicentennial Farm and Home Recognition. It happens in August during the Wisconsin State Fair. Go to the Wisconsin State Fair website for details and applications. I'm PM Yonke.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Hi, I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Not quite as cold the next couple of days, but still chilly, mostly sunny today, a high near 17. Wind chills as low as 20 below, especially in the morning. Mostly clear tonight, lows near 5 below. Sunny skies on Friday with highs near 20. Right now, 0 degrees.
Do you know or work with kids who have special healthcare needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/wiscway. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
It might be cold outside, but we're back on the road to find out what makes Wisconsin great, including the American Bird Combiner.
Road trip!
It's the best ski race in the world. I'm Todd Alba. I'm taking you to the Birkenbeiner and what it means for the state.
Normally, we're about 2,600 people during Berkey Week. That gets up to 20, 30,000.
Join us from Hayward, Wisconsin.
A special Todd Alba show Thursday and Friday.
At noon on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Norm Kapinski from Appleton Cigar joins the show and makes a popcorn pick of the week. And then president of the Fox Valley Veterans Council, Tim Cody, joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Singer Rihanna is 37 years old today, part of today's history lesson. The Badger men's basketball team will be playing on Saturday against Oregon. Coverage starts at 10 a.m. on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. And the Badger men's hockey team will play Notre Dame on Friday and Saturday. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. on Civic Media Station WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids and the Civic Media app as well. And then the Bucks are playing tonight, and I believe they are they hosting the Clippers? Yes, they are hosting the LA Clippers. Let's get into a discussion about Black History Month and a little bit of, I guess, Black history that you could say was made in the Wisconsin Assembly when it just has become like this annual thing where legislative Republicans are looking for any reason to push back on essentially a clean resolution, noting Black History Month, wanting to essentially micromanage, you know, which historical figures are called out on that resolution. It's a theme you hear from me a lot about Republicans wanting to micromanage what other people do, which is ironic given how much we hear about big government from these folks. But regardless, after 7 years of false starts, a resolution did pass the Assembly yesterday, and we are very happy to be joined by two members of the Legislative Black Caucus, Senator Dora Drake and Representative Saquana Taylor. Ladies, good morning. Thank you so much for being here today.
Good morning. Good
morning. Nice to talk to both of you here. Representative Taylor, let me start with you because as we talked during the break, I mean, this was, it's hard to say who all gets all the credit, and I don't want to dwell on it, but the fact that a Black History resolution couldn't pass for years was just the height of silly season for state politics, and now it did. Is that credit to any particular people, or they just got tired of fighting about it?
I want to credit maybe several people. For one, I want to credit the chair of the Black Caucus, which is Senator Dora Drake. I'm the vice chair. And a lot of the heavy lifting on the assembly side was due to Representative Kaylin Haywood, which is the minority assistant leader. I don't necessarily know if they got tired of fighting, because I felt like initially maybe there was maybe minimum pushback or some pushback, but it actually passed yesterday, and no one on the other side stood up, you know, to say any words about why it shouldn't pass or who should be on there at that point. And so it was really great to see something that is definitely nonpartisan, right, but should be bipartisan with everybody, be able to be celebrated. And as I said on the floor yesterday, that Black history is an annual. It's a lifetime commitment to the individuals that came before us that fought for this nation and built and shaped this nation, the progress of this nation. So definitely the Black Caucus in whole, but a lot to Representative Haywood, who carry a lot of the heavy load, ensuring that it got onto the floor yesterday.
And Senator, a similar question to you, and again addressing, and I thought you all expressed it so well when the people are like, oh, well, we shouldn't even be talking about race. We should all be, you know, together. And you guys did a great job of saying, look, there are many ways where we are together, but there are also many ways where we celebrate the cultures where we've all come from.
Exactly. And that has always been the focal point of what we stand for as a caucus. You know, we are committed to the improvement of African Americans and members of the African diaspora through our whole state. And so when it comes to the Black History Resolution Month, it's not saying that other cultures shouldn't be celebrated. It's saying that we are beautiful and our own cultures in our own unique ways, and those differences should be celebrated. You know, and so in terms of the success of getting through the assembly floor, we are excited that it got passed. And I know that we're waiting for the Senate to come back in session so we can do the same thing.
Absolutely. And I sense things will be a lot smoother this time around. And I'm not just wishing for that as a former senator, but I feel pretty good about that. In terms of, you know, moving from history to the present tense, and again, sometimes it feels like we're threading a needle here, and I'm so glad to have you both talk about this point, because one of the earliest series of stories we did at Up North News 5 years ago was about systemic racism in Wisconsin and explaining what systemic or institutional racism is. And there, again, maybe there's something in the term. It gets this knee-jerk reaction like, you know, oh, we're not racist. It's not that you're calling somebody racist. You're saying the institutions, it was a three-part series, one on education, one on healthcare, one on criminal justice. So when we talk about the challenges that are still out there, when you see that much disparity between races, that tells you that there is something that needs to be studied and improved on. And yet, Representative Taylor, we still see some kind of a pushback.
Yeah, and once again, you said it correct. Like, we're not stating that everyone is racist, right? And we're just saying because of systematic things that have been put in place for years, we have to acknowledge the barriers. We have to acknowledge the challenges. And we also have to acknowledge that things need to change. And I often tell people, we don't like to talk about the elephant in the room because of fear that we'll offend someone. And I've said on tons of national seats, and I often say, let's talk about the elephant in the room. If somehow someone gets offended, let's clear it up, let's get over it, and let's get to work. Because by us not talking about it, not addressing it, it continues to linger and happen. And I think it's often said, like, education is the most powerful tool to change the world. I take that to be with knowledge, too. And once we identify it, then we can find a solution to it. But as long as we don't identify it and keep it in the background, we're letting the problem continue to escalate. And none of us would like to do that. I often tell people, like, who wants to live in a world where people are not being treated unfairly? And as Dr. Martin Luther King said, injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere.
And sometimes in certain groups, there is a larger problem. I think, for example, another example was when there was talk about forming a task force about missing and murdered Indigenous women. And one particular Republican lawmaker held it up saying, well, why don't we talk about missing and murdered women of all types? Well, again, because there's something there that needs to be explored. And yet, Senator Drake, we're now at a point where wanting to give that extra attention to a particular group and try to fix an injustice is now, especially over the past 5 weeks, is being specifically targeted, and people being fired and money being frozen. And it, you know, what's that going to do to these ongoing problems?
Well, it's just going to exacerbate them. And so that's why we are so concerned as a caucus on what it means to not just advocate for these issues, but what it means to actually uplift and support those, whether it's through policy, whether it's through funding, and whether it's supporting our partners and community workers who are doing that work. You know, you mentioned the missing task force for African-American women and children. And that was something that Rep. Stubbs and Senator Johnson have been adamant about, is because we have them for Indigenous women, which as a caucus, we absolutely agree that that should be there. But there is a separate sect of women, Black women and children that are not listened to, that are ignored, and that have trauma, that have lost lives. And so the work that we do to address and fight systemic racism goes to address housing, healthcare, education, being involved in the criminal justice system. All those things matter. And so we are excited, obviously, that we are passing the Black History Month resolution. But now is the time to really work on the policies that we fight for. And so we're great, you know, that it passed. But now it's time for us to still continue to push the needle and say, we got this done. Now let's get legislation done to uplift and support funding for all these programs that are at risk of losing if the federal government doesn't step in and we do our part as state leaders.
You jumped right into the pivot that I wanted to make in terms of policy and having, you know, not just being reactive to things, but being proactive. So, yes. Senator, I'll start with you this time in terms of policy, whether it was things you heard from the governor's budget address or other priorities of the Black Caucus. What are the things that you would like to see happen during this session?
Well, you know, the governor stated that this year is the year of the kid, and we have witnessed the need for that. You know, something that stood out to me wasn't just the funding for our public schools, but really addressing the issue of lead. That's a continuous issue, and we're thankful that we got funding from the Biden administration to address that, but it's still not addressing the whole issue. So to see that specifically in the proposed budget was absolutely something that's amazing. In terms of other priorities, we know that there are some issues with having access to housing for people to become homeowners, but also what it means to address Black unemployment. This year, seeing for Black History Month across the whole nation is African Americans in labor. And in Wisconsin, we still have the lowest rate of unemployment. And so we know that there are job opportunities, but is it going to be paying you well enough? Are your rights protected? Are the union paying jobs that you are have access to? And so those are some of the things that we'll be pushing for. And I know Rep. Taylor is really passionate about maternal health care, as am I. Postpartum is something that we are excited to push through, and hopefully that we don't let one legislator stop the progress of that this year.
Oh, I mean, we can't talk about that enough on this program, right? Of how one assembly speaker is blocking something with 90 plus co-sponsors to increase affordable, stable health care coverage for new moms across Wisconsin, but especially in an area where Black maternal mortality is unnecessarily sky high. So you want to say more about that, Representative Taylor, or any other priorities in this session that you want to fight for?
Yeah, well, as a educator, I used to say past educator, but once an educator, always educator, to see the special ed reimbursement at 60%, to see the monies for a local government, you know, as someone who spent time on local government in schools, right? The mental health piece was so stagnant given the things that happened within our communities, especially communities of color that need it. And a lot of what Senator Drake already mentioned, I was excited about this budget, but I know the real work begins and giving the past budget years, how we've seen them take out some of the great things that the governor has put into this budget and rip it right out of the budget. And so if we're going to talk about how do we have a Wisconsin that moves forward, then we need to move forward with some things that were really great. As I said before, listening to the things about the school being public schools, I just looked at the other side and it was kind of saddening to see that no one was clapping, especially when we talk about the year of the kid, whether you say child, I'll call them babies. But at the end of the day, all of us want all of the children of Wisconsin to be successful. And so we should all be applauding when we talk about it's the year of the kid, because if they're going to be our future, we need to presently pour into them. And if we're not doing that, then we are a disservice.
We got a couple minutes left, so I'm going to ask this one last question of both of you, and Representative Taylor, start with you in terms of your impressions as a new legislator. I know you served and continue to serve on the Milwaukee County Board, but what do you think of life so far in the Assembly?
I often tell people the analogy of a faucet of running water, right? Like since day one, it's been going with visits, emails, calls. I'm really looking forward to working with everyone, even people on the other side. It is definitely a difference from local government, finding that balance of what works, what doesn't work, and how do we really get down to having work done. But honored to be here. I truly think the people of the 11th district, and like I said before, I'm ready to get to work.
And Senator Drake, I'll frame it the same way that I do to other folks, because I tease my big brother, Senator Jeff Smith. Moving from the Assembly to the Senate, said the former senator, isn't it so much cooler up there? Isn't it just nice to be?
You know, it is. So.
And that's called senitude, by the way, for folks who
aren't. I see.
Well, you know, it always takes a different pace, but I'm absolutely loving it. You know, you know, the flow work is just different, but we're getting so many calls about different issues, different stakeholders that want to engage in a new way. And I actually want to take this time to ensure that I let folks know that we have a Black Advocacy Day that's happened every year that was formerly led by my predecessor, Senator Lena Taylor, now judge. But there's so much more interest in figuring out, to your point, Pat, about what it means for next steps. And so I want to invite everybody in the state to come to Black Advocacy Day on Thursday, February 27th. It's going to be an amazing time, and it's going to be an opportunity to network, to build, and to learn more about how you can get involved in the civic process.
That is wonderful. Thank you for mentioning that, Senator Dora Drake and Representative Saquana Taylor. So great to talk to both of you. Thank you so much for all you do, and thanks for taking time with us this morning.
Thank you for that.
Thank you so much, Pat.
All right. Have a wonderful day. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Luke Mathers, our big fan of Top Chef Wisconsin, about the ongoing economic impact of that series. That's coming up after this. You're up north.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A federal judge sentenced former New Jersey U.S. Senator Bob Menendez January 29th to 11 years in prison for corruption charges and acting as a foreign agent. Menendez, a Democrat, was contrite in the courtroom but blasted the process as political and corrupted to the core in a not-so-subtle appeal to President Donald Trump. Menendez was convicted July 16th on all federal charges of conspiracy, bribery, extortion, wire fraud, obstruction, and acting as a foreign agent in schemes involving an Egyptian-American businessman and a New Jersey developer. In exchange for cash, a Mercedes convertible, and gold bars, Menendez used his influence as chair of the U.S. Senate Foreign Relations Committee to procure exclusive import of halal processed meat products into Egypt. The New Jersey Monitor reports that Menendez then signed off on billions in U.S. military aid to the government of Egypt, despite the country's deteriorating human rights record. But times have changed. February 11th, the U.S. Justice Department ordered the Southern District of New York to drop bribery and corruption charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams. He was accused of taking illegal campaign donations from foreign nationals and doing favors in exchange for luxury travel. The apparent quid pro quo with the Trump administration prompted six SDNY attorneys to resign in protest. We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now I know, now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's tugging on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
What are we doing? Playing Steely Dan for the arrival of Luke Mathers? One more birthday. The late Walter Becker from Steely Dan was born on this day. And we play this one because singing in the background of Peg is Michael McDonald. We have actually isolated his vocal track on this. Give a listen to how Michael McDonald sings in the background on this.
I don't hear how to hear how to hear.
I just wanted to hear your very, very high. Peg! The things we do to entertain Luke Mathers when he comes to visit us, because he's kind enough to come in so early in the day. It's not enough for him to be handsome and capable. He works for us. He works hard, including talking to us about the economic impact of Top Chef. Mr. Mathers, how are you?
I'm doing well, Mr. Krylo. Glad to see you. Wasn't that a great week away on the beach together? I mean,
together.
No, wait. No, I was definitely in the national parks. I was definitely.
It was somebody else.
No one
my
would
towel.
Have cared if you guys took a couple's vacation.
Yeah. Oh, one person on this call would have very much cared, Greg.
Two. Maybe three.
Are you talking about me? I took my vacation. I went to Memphis. I saw some great music and ate food.
If you saw Pat and I frolicking on the beach with pina coladas, I think you would have a little bit of FOMO. Come on, Greg.
Let's be honest about it. No.
Well, we can post the pictures to Instagram.
Us frolicking. Luke Mathers, you know, I know you're handsome and capable, and you are technically and actually my boss, but don't start. Don't start things you can't finish. Don't write checks you can't cash.
The imagery of the three of us frolicking in the ocean along the beach, it screams the Zoolander scene with the gasoline fight, is basically how dumb we would look doing this.
That sounds about right.
Yes. Mr. Mathers, Top Chef, still bringing in dividends to Wisconsin. Something like it took a more than $1 million to land Top Chef through mm-hmm. marketing and sponsorship and things like that. But a recent study shared by Visit Milwaukee estimates that Top Chef viewers contributed more than $1.5 million in revenue at Milwaukee area hotels during the time that there was shooting. But then you still have, you know, tourists that are coming in. They're coming into Dan Jacobs' restaurant and others that are there. It just goes to show you that you never know where the next piece of economic development is going to come from, including a really good reality show.
Yeah, and it's going to be an investment that hopefully continues to pay dividends for not only the city of Milwaukee, but the state of Wisconsin as a whole. We got to watch that fantastic season last year. The new one is going to be kicking off, so there's going to be a lot of people re-watching. If they didn't watch it live last year as it was going on across the state of Wisconsin, Top Chef season 21 is going to be starting, I want to say in March, but I could be wrong. It might be April. But it's right around the corner, and a lot of folks like to rewatch the previous season or seasons leading up to the new ones. And so this is going to be something that exists forever, and folks are going to be continuing to find it. It is going to continue to hopefully pay dividends for Wisconsin and Milwaukee. It's very exciting to see what's happened so far since the conclusion of the season, and it's great to see that we can have our name out there as a culinary destination for folks that want to travel and experience not just cheese curds and beer, but brats, native food.
There's more. Yeah,
the architecture that comes with Frank Lloyd Wright, all of the other aspects that were highlighted during the season to really showcase Wisconsin. It's really great that we were able to have that across our state last year.
And Chef Dan Jacobs is using that soapbox that he's been given and continues to use it. I saw an email from him through the Main Street Alliance and asking people to rally around with him to a small business day of action at the state capitol so that they can work on some of their high priorities that small businesses want. They want support for child care funding to bring down costs and to not lose workers. They want expanded postpartum Medicaid coverage that we just talked about in the last segment, paid family medical leave, better access to capital. These are all things that, you know, if you're a chef like him, if you're a restaurant owner or anything, the last thing I'm sure that chef ever thought of is that he was going to be like a lobbyist with a lowercase L, a lobbyist, you know, at the state capitol. But you see a real opportunity there to rally people to some good causes.
Yeah, and it is amazing to see when folks have a platform like that are not just trying to cash in the celebrity status, the fame that comes from being a runner-up on Top Chef just for themselves. There's plenty of folks that go on and they continue to do the competitive food circuit. There's plenty of shows that they can go compete on to try to win money and more fame. To see Chef Dan Jacobs using his platform for advocacy and to try to better not just the small, like the restaurant owner business in Milwaukee and continue to develop the food scene, but for all small businesses across the state of Wisconsin. It's a really tremendous thing to see, and it's going to be exciting to be able to hopefully speak a little bit more with the folks over at Main Street Alliance about that day of advocacy that's coming up later, I believe, middle of next month. And so very exciting to see folks like that use their platform to advance things that would benefit all of us.
Would you then say that you agree with Tony writing on YouTube that those chef testants really bring in the bucks?
Well, I didn't think the Milwaukee Bucks did any crossover.
No,
the chef testings was purely
for Greg here, and now we've lost him for the rest of the show.
I hate you all.
Mr.
Mathers. That was Tony. Come on. Whoa.
yes.
Yeah, but it was months and months of chef testing from you, sir. Captain starting fights on the secret show and on the actual show.
All right, you kids take it elsewhere. Thank you, Mr. Mathers. Have a great day.
Always a pleasure.
Mr. Bach is back in 2 hours with Matt and Aaron on air. Is Jane back or is she still on jury duty?
Jane will be back this morning joining us with Ben Wickler at 10:20, Alex Lawson at 10:30, and sports and weather in the second hour, as well as this shouldn't be a thing.
This shouldn't be a thing. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it very much. And tomorrow, Kia Vakil from Courier Newsroom and Casey Harrison of our sister publication, The Nevadan, located in Nevada. How do you like that? I'm Pat Kreitlow. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great Thursday. See you tomorrow morning up north.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allbaugh Show.
Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we'll be live from downtown Hayward, Wisconsin for the 51st Annual American Birkebeiner. Yes, outside. Join us. It should be fun.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Earl Ingram.
Mayor Johnson, we used to have a saying called a switcheroo. Talking about one thing while behind the scenes there's a greater issue.
This man was elected president of the United States to focus in on making everyday life more affordable. But our push to remove lead service lines, our health department, are impacted by the things that the Trump administration have targeted since they've been in office. Yeah, it's been a huge switcheroo. It's not been about saving folks money. I mean, this is going to cause more pain.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above Lacrosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX Lacrosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The bodies of four Israeli hostages who died in Gaza after the October 7th attacks have now been turned over to Israel by Hamas. At the foreign desk, ABC's Lama Hassan says the victims include the youngest and oldest hostages.
Hamas claiming the Israeli Defense Forces killed them in airstrikes. Israel says it holds Hamas responsible for their deaths. The bodies will undergo forensic testing in Israel for formal identification.
President Trump says he likes the idea of giving some of the savings from Elon Musk's Department of Government efficiency back to taxpayers as a kind of dividend. The Pentagon could be the latest government agency on the chopping block when it comes to jobs being eliminated. The president still calling Ukrainian President Zelensky a dictator. Republican Senator Josh Hawley from Missouri.
My guess is he's expressing some frustration with Zelensky. But this has been very tough on Russia, getting them to the negotiating table. That's good.
The president also saying Ukraine is responsible for starting the war. This is ABC News.